Here is a guy who is crazy, just crazy, about typewriters.
I have too many typewriters, David. You want one? I should have brought one for you and the staff.
Next time.
Just to help out, man. I don't want these to be a burden to my children when I kick the bucket. I don't want them to say, what are we going to do with Dad's typewriters?
So that is, of course, the Tom Hanks.
Houston, we have a problem.
I don't know anything about Ryan. I don't care. Man means nothing to me. It's just a name. But if finding him so he can go home, if that earns me the right to get back to my wife, well, then that's my mission.
There's no crying in baseball!
Wilson!
Wilson!
Hanks has made us believe he can be anyone, do anything on the big screen, and now he is taking us on a journey on the page. So the first question I have about your new book... Your new book. Your
How
book.
About, that's
your
it.
First book.
That's it. That's my only shot.
Okay, Tom Hanks has written a book, just one for now. It's a collection of short stories with varied subjects. There's a World War II veteran on Christmas Eve in 1953. There's a California surfer kid who makes an unsettling discovery. There's even one about time travel. And in every story, Hanks sneaks in the machine he is so obsessed with, the typewriter. Sometimes it's a plot device. Sometimes it really does feel almost hidden. His book is called Uncommon Type. And talking to Hanks, you realize his thing with typewriters is not a gimmick. It's a love affair.
Yeah, it is. There's something about, I don't know, it's a hex in my brain. There is something that I find reassuring, comforting, dazzling, in that here is a very specific apparatus that is meant to do one thing, and it does it perfectly. And that one thing is to translate the thoughts in your head down to paper. Now, that means everything from a shopping list to James Joyce's Ulysses. Short of carving words into stone with a hammer and chisel, not much is more permanent than a paragraph or a sentence or a love letter or a story typed on paper.
Yeah, you talk about the authority. I mean, that a to-do list takes on a whole different life when it is imprinted on a piece of paper in that way.
There's no doodles. There's no happy faces that you use to dot your I's with. And I feel very free in writing almost anything on a typewriter, provided it's not much more than a page and a half. You do cut and paste your typewritten documents with scissors and a stapler and glue. That's the only way you can do it.
It gets a little messy.
Yeah.
And then suddenly a computer seems like maybe that would be easier.
That would be the greatest thing in the world.
There's a beautiful story in your collection. These are the meditations of my heart.
Oh.
And I mean, it starts with a woman who has gone through a breakup and has no need necessarily for a typewriter for anything, but she buys this plastic typewriter.
Tonka junk typewriter.
Yeah, like a toy, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how did that story come together?
Well, that's actually the story of how I got my first typewriter. A friend of mine had gotten a new Olivetti Electric that was gorgeous, state-of-the-art typewriter for 1973.
When was this?
1973.
You got your first typewriter in 73.
He gave me his old typewriter.
Okay.
But I used it for about a year and a half or so, and I just wanted to get my typewriter serviced, just like the girl did. And it's that what happens to her in the shop is almost verbatim the conversation I had with the old man.
This is a reading I'd love you to do. It's
all right.
Page 232.
Now, this man speaks with an accent that I probably won't do here. But
do it any way you can.
All right.
Yeah.
Look here. The old man waved his arms at the typewriters that lined the wall-mounted shelves. These are machines. They are made of steel. They are works of engineers. They were built in factories in America, Germany, Switzerland. Do you know why they are up on that shelf right now? Because they are for sale? Because they were built to last forever! That guy altered my concept of the place a typewriter can hold in your life. It is equal to a wooden chest that your great-grandfather carved, or the perfect set of doilies that your grandmother hand-stitched themselves, or a quilt that your mom passed down to you that she made for you when you were 5 years old. A typewriter is a You can carry it around. It can go with you anywhere in the world. Even the biggest one you can put in a box and lug if you're dumb enough to try to get through airport security with something like that.
But it's not just typewriters. I mean it's just gadgets and appliances and cars. I mean, the Plymouth with the PowerFlite auto transmission, The Kelvinator fridge, and Mr. Coffee Maker. It goes on and on. I mean, do you have a reverence for machinery?
There was a time... when you, as a six-year-old kid, were really invested in the choice of a refrigerator because you'd seen all these commercials. You know, Frigidaire. What a beautiful name, Frigidaire. Look, you know what it means? It means frigid, cold air, frigid air. That's what's inside a refrigerator.
I never even realized. I'm kind of stupid for admitting. I never made that connection. But
then there was Norge, N-O-R-G-E, and the jingle was knock on any Norge. And if you knocked on a Norge, you could hear how solid this refrigerator was. A Norge was a solid refrigerator. You know how you knew? By knock on any Norge. I remember being a kid and I'd go into somebody else's house and I'd say, wow, you got a Norge.
Yeah.
That's exciting. And I'd open up the doors and see how it would click and see how the shelves were.
And you felt like an expert in this. I mean, you knew a lot about fridges.
I watch TV.
Yeah.
There's a book in there, The Great Refrigerator Wars of the Early 1960s.
That's coming. Is that...
that'd be a good nonfiction piece.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I find you to be someone who enjoys some personal moments of reflection, looking at the world.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was finishing your book last night at a really quirky bar restaurant in Santa Monica.
Which one?
The Galley.
Galley. Good steaks at the Galley.
Good fish, too.
Good fish,
grilled fish and salad
great place.
Last night.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
But I was people watching. There was this couple next to me, and they were just like such personalities. She was complaining to the server about everything. He was like wishing that she weren't doing that. Can you do that because of your celebrity? Like,
how
do you do it?
Well, one is you just show up. You know, you don't have the black SUV and the guys in suits that are opening the doors and clearing the way for you. But if you're not working, you know, you're just a guy in a pair of pants and a sweatshirt, and you just go in. And some people might notice you, but you'd be amazed at how often you can hide in plain sight.
Tom Hanks, thank you.
Thank you, David. Pleasure talking to you.
Tom Hanks. His collection of short stories is called Uncommon Type.